Good morning. Bonjour. My name is Nicole Lebihan, and I am a consultant for ethics and religious culture at the Lester B. Pearson School Board. And it is my pleasure this morning to introduce to you Dr. Isabelle Saint-Martin. Dr. Isabelle Saint-Martin comes from the Université de la Sorbonne in Paris. She is the assistant director of the EESR, which is the European Institute of Religious Sciences, or in French, l'Institut Européen en Sciences des Religions. This institute is a training institute, a resource center, and a European Observatory on Religions. Its mission is to serve as a secular center, offering expertise and consulting on the history and the current state of religious issues. This institute is associated with the Religious Science Department of the EPHE, which is l'École pratique des hautes études. Cette école, qui fut fondée en 1868, est un grand établissement d'enseignement supérieur où, entre autres choses, on y enseigne les religions depuis l'Antiquité jusqu'au monde contemporain, avec des approches relevant de l'histoire, de la philosophie, de l'anthropologie, de l'ethnologie, de la sociologie, de l'histoire, de l'art ou encore de l'iconologie. Docteur Saint-Martin est maître de conférence à l'École pratique des hautes études, dans la section des sciences religieuses. Ses recherches portent sur les relations entre le christianisme et les arts visuels pour la période du 19e siècle à aujourd'hui. Dr. Saint-Martin a participé à plusieurs publications dans le domaine de la formation des enseignants sur les questions liées aux religions et à la laïcité. Quelques exemples de ces publications: Des maîtres et des dieux, École et religion en Europe, Enseigner les faits religieux, comprendre les faits religieux. I would also like to mention that Dr. Saint-Martin has written a book in 2003 titled in English, See, Know, Believe, Catechism and Teaching Through Images in the 19th Century. En français, voir, savoir, croire, catéchisme et pédagogie par l'image. L'objet de cet ouvrage est l'étude d'un genre particulier, le catéchisme par l'image. Il me fait donc plaisir d'inviter Dr. Saint-Martin à nous adresser la parole. Teaching about religion in the public schools of France. Dr. Saint-Martin.
Thank you very much. I'd like to thank the organizers, and especially Professor Boudreau, for inviting me to participate in this conference. Jean-Paul Willem, the director of the European Institute of Religious Science, regrets that he could not attend today. We both are delighted that the French situation can be discussed in the context of this symposium. From the outside, the importance of teaching about religion, and not a denominational teaching of religion, which is not my subject here, can seem surprising. France, indeed, is one of the rare European countries which do not dedicate a specific class to this question. It is not a subject in itself, and there is no specific course about it. However, it would be a mistake to think that these aspects are completely absent from teaching in schools. I would like to give you a general overview of the French situation. I will first go over the evolution in the debate in the last 20 years, and more specifically, the arguments in favor of a better consideration of teaching about religion in schools, which led to the to the elaboration of new school syllabuses. Secondly, I will describe briefly the contents of this teaching and trying to make clear what religious facts means. I will give you a few examples, more particularly in history and literature. And finally, I will try to specify the strengths and weaknesses of these syllabuses and then mention the latest reforms, as the question of school curricula in general are still under debate in France. So, the importance of teaching about religion in schools. The history of the debate and teaching about religion has already been discussed many times, and several documents were published about it. I'm going to give you a brief summary, as it is necessary in order to understand the current situation. And at the risk of going back too far in time, we must first refer to the law on the separation of churches and state in 1905, which is essential to understand the French situation till now. And then, above all, for education, the 1880s laws on secularism, I try to translate laïcité, I hope you understand this phrase, with secularism or secularization, though I know that it is not perfect, but it could be the topic of another conference, so I will go with that term. So, indeed, with the passing of the 1882 Act on Mandatory Primary Education, and these laws of the end of century of the 19th century on secularism, schools with set up mandatory, free, and non-denominational primary education. Article 2 of the Act specifies that public primary schools shall close one day per week other than Sunday to allow parents, if they so wish, to provide religious instruction to their children outside of school premises. Hence, a clear distinction was made between schools and churches, and schools became free for all religious control. Moreover, moral and religious instruction was replaced with civics and moral education, which retained the question of duties before God until 1923. After this date, the separation between education and religion was complete. By way of exchange, in the first year of the 20th century, propositions have been made to replace the obliteration of religious teaching with instruction on the history of religions, but with no success. Secularization in school did not purport to be anti-religious. It merely enforced a strict separation. But in the renewed letters to teachers, the minister, Jules Ferry, asked that the pupil conscience always be respected and that a good father should be able to sit at the back of the class and not be shocked by what he heard. In fact, to avoid apologetic drifts as well as militant anticlericalism, the tendency was more towards abstinence, avoiding talking about religion in order not to inflame sensibilities. After 1905, there was a very clear will to erase any reference to religion. For instance, a book which was widely used in classrooms, the Tour de France, about a journey undertaken by two young Alsatians, first published in 1977, had all religious references removed from its 1906 edition. In the latter edition, when the two children, while in Avignon, walk in front of the Pope's palace, they merely see an old castle. And if they talk about the father is not anymore in heaven, he's just dead. And they don't say, my God, just what a pity, and so on. So I am using these examples in order you to understand the spirit of those times, the profoundly secular spirit which had entered the world of education. But I must add that there is one exception to this regulation in France, Alsace-Moselle, territories which were lost after the end of the 1870 war and which were rejoined with France after the First World War, kept the status of recognized faith which dates from Napoleon. Therefore, to this day, it has kept denominational classes of Catholic, Lutheran, Reformed, and Jewish religion in public school, with provision for exemption, which are all the more important as pupils get older. So, evolution, the debate of the teaching of the history of religion in schools was reintroduced in the 1980s. Several factors can explain this return of the debate. Firstly, the progress of secularization, the decline of religious practice and catechism for children. Therefore, the referring family culture disappeared for a part of the population. Teachers themselves often receive little training on this question and are faced with young people who are totally uneducated on religious references. This acknowledgement is in fact wider, and in general, it is the humanist culture which is getting erased. However, it is a deficit of knowledge about religion, or as some journalists might say, religious illiteracy, which is the most striking. In different publications, some have started pointing this out and are concerned about the loss of cultural landmarks. But at the same time, in 1981-1982, a debate on education was introduced. After the establishment of a socialist government, it moved towards putting an end to the system of private schools in France, which were mostly Catholic. It proposed an all-encompassing single national education service. The Educational League, a body which represents a very secular teaching world, was in favor of this project, and in order to make up for the part of religious teaching in Catholic schools, they suggested introducing a teaching of the history of religions from a purely cultural perspective. It would remedy the pupils' striking deficit of knowledge using the study of myths and the founding texts of religion. In the end, the place of private schools was not challenged in France, but public opinion was suddenly exercised by the debates on religious culture. Various press articles and polls acknowledged this lack of culture, which made comprehension of the great works of French literature impossible, including those of Enlightenment. How can we understand Pascal without any notion about grace, or with romantic poetry, or criticism on Voltaire and Rousseau? It is notable that a report on teaching history, geography, and social sciences in 1989 underlined the need for a knowledge base about the history of religion. And an international symposium was organized in Besançon 2 years after on teaching the history of religion with a secular approach. There was reforms in 1996 of syllabuses in history and literature, which was very interesting. I will go over that later. And they didn't not modify their contents as much as it highlighted the place of religious question as such, and not only as elements in the history of civilization. But this reform was not enough to remedy in a few years the lack of culture of the pupils. Pupils still appeared unable to understand the basic references in Western art, for example. There are famous stories which were often used. I can give one of mine. I was teaching art history with students just one year after school, and I was trying to compare on the stylistic level a work by Bellini and another by Piero della Francesca. And some pupils were astonished, and they asked, "Madame, did you see there is a strange bird in the middle of the scenes in both pictures?" And they were very surprised. And it is true that if no one ever told you that this bird, this strange bird, was a representation of the Holy Spirit, it is not something you could guess. So The tragic events of 9/11, second point, tragic event of 9/11, and the reaction in France were added to this acknowledgement of lack of culture. Pupils started asking a lot of questions about terrorism, or religious fanaticism, and the position of Islam, etc. Moreover, in classrooms in the Parisian suburbs, some pupils of Muslim origin refused to respect the minute of silence in the victim's honor. This was a really atypical situation, but it is still worrying. We were becoming aware of the fact that religion still extensively organized some aspects of the contemporary world and social behaviors, even through their violent manifestations. Answering Minister Jacques Lang's request, the philosopher Régis Debray delivered a report in March 2002, which was considerably referenced in the media. Régis Debray had just published a great volume, a great book, entitled God, a Journey, Dieu, un Itinéraire, on the transmission of the biblical text. In his introduction, there was a footnote which precisely called for a form of teaching about religion in school syllabuses. And I would like to insist on the fact that Régis Debray, as you can see, was not the first one to talk about this debate. And what he proposes was not a revolution. But he was exactly the right person to defend such a project. As a left-wing philosopher, he could not be accused of serving the Catholic cause, even though, after his report, the press, full of suspicion, reported the fact that his baby was baptized shortly after he handed his report, and he answered that it was at the mother's request, and he was mocked about that. And on such a subject, the right wing would have immediately been suspected of wanting to re-establish an alliance between politics and religion. Régis Debray and Jacques Lang could afford to promote a report which stated the necessary distinction between religion as an object, as an object of belief and as an object of knowledge. It reaffirmed that it was necessary that any presence of information about religion in school syllabuses corresponded to one of the requirements of objective knowledge and not of the transmission of faith. And it is important to add that Jacques Lang was also a former Minister of Culture. For this reason, I think he was particularly sensitive to the cultural approach to religions. Brief summary of the principal points of the Debray report. Distinguishing religion, so as an object of faith, from religion as an object of culture. Including the knowledge of religious information into all disciplines, and not only in history, that is moving beyond the patrimonial perspective in order to take the understanding of the contemporary world into consideration. So this is moving from a secularism of abstinence, une laïcité d'incompétence in juridical meanings, towards a secularism of understanding, laïcité d'intelligence, comme dans l'expression vivre en bonne intelligence avec. And he wanted to contribute to teachers' training thanks to a training module teaching about religion and philosophy of secularism. And as you see, it was important to pay attention to philosophy of secularism in order to insist on the fact that it is not religion as object of faith. For teacher training during their work as intern, a certain number of hours were planned and devoted to this training module. And he insists on the creation of a European Institute of Science, of Religion Science, in order to build a bridge between scholarly research and school transmission and contributing to a better consideration of religious facts within reflection on education. So, teaching about religion using various disciplines. Why? As it was in 1995 or 1996 report, in 2002, the Zodebre report established the approach which is about utilizing all those disciplines and refuse the idea of a specific class on history of religion for several reasons. First of all, practical reasons. Division of timetables. It would be only a lost hour between sports and music while pupils are already overworked. So it won't give a good place to religious facts to have a specific course. This was the argument. Behind this practical reason, which is interesting, there is also a very strong corporatist reason. Refusal to create a new teaching body and its recruiting competitive exams. En France, CAPES, agrégation. This is one of the most compelling arguments. The weight of the institution is such that creating a new set of competitive exams for recruiting teachers is unimaginable, and till now it is not under debate. The most interesting argument is epistemological. It is not a refusal to approach the heart of religions, but the necessity to consider religion as a complete social fact, combining literary, historical, philosophical, economic and social questions, and concerned with avoiding a ghetto, which would have set this subject apart, so that other subjects would not have to be concerned about it. However, there is also an ideological reason, sometimes announced as such. The idea that a specific class could fall into the hands of zealots and then escape the frame of secularism with the fear of apologetic drifts in the background. From such a point of view, teaching about religion can only hold a rather limited position within other subjects. The history of societies, literature, arts, languages, and civilization have many further dimensions than the religious one. However, this option is about underlining that information about religion is submerged in societies and their evolutions, and that it must be comprehended as such. The evolution of argument in favor of teaching about religion can be seen through a symposium organized after the Debray report. The Minister of Education outlines three major axes of instruction about religion: teaching the symbolic language of religion, contributing to the knowledge and intelligibility of cultural heritage, contributing to civic education. Teaching about religion enables pupils to understand the role that religion plays in the modern world. In conclusion, this seminar noted that an approach to teaching about religion which is too exclusively centered on heritage, I quote, runs the risk of not allowing information about religion from the present and considering it exclusively as a nostalgic element of the world we lost. Moreover, such an approach exclusively centered on heritage would risk not giving Islam a sufficient importance. And France has an important Muslim community. It was something what's very present in the spirit at those times. In this symposium, an address from President Jacques Chirac underlined that teaching about religion favored a spirit of tolerance and education towards mutual respect. In today's world, tolerance and secularism can have no better foundation than knowledge and respect for the other. It is a retreat to oneself and ignorance that nourish prejudice and separatism. To strengthen understanding of religions, to improve the teaching and religious and related matters in secondary school, to follow the manifestation of faith in history, in hearts, and in each culture, all of these will reinforce the spirit of tolerance in our young fellow citizens and give them the basis to respect each other more fully. So we have moved in a few years from an approach whose starting point was cultural insufficiencies to an approach which underlined the place of religion in the contemporary world, and then to an approach which is founded on tolerance and mutual understanding. Today we would rather say mutual respect, underlining how much acknowledging other people requires distancing oneself from one's conviction. I will try to explain the contents and the way to do that. Approaching religion using other disciplines. The choice France made is teaching about religion, not a presentation on Greek religion, but they are studied through historical phenomena and through important texts in order to go from form to the meaning, from works and texts to the signification. In the chosen perspective, the discourse on religion differs from testimonies made by believers whose approach cannot be held as the only valid one and cannot claim to exclude the presence of the outside knowledge taught by teachers. But religious fact, what does it mean? If there is no unique definition, just as there is no consensus on a unique definition of religion, this expression still does not have the positivist nature of the words information, facts, or phenomena. The adjective religious, wider and more flexible, is preferred than the noun. The adjective used as a noun, the religious, le religieux, comme on peut dire en français, which is beyond religions, since the non-religions always refer first to religious institutions and the different religions and as they are classified and categorized. And the phrase religious phenomena wanted to refer to Marcel Mauss' 1904 remarks. There is in fact no thing or essence called religion. There are only religious phenomena which are more or less combined within systems called religions and which have a defined historical existence within determined times and groups of men. Nowadays, in the European Institute, we prefer the plural facts or phenomena than the singular used first by Rapport de Bré, in order not to essentialize the religious facts and to take into consideration the variety of the context. Religious phenomena are collective, material, symbolic, and sensitive phenomena. Before talking about religious facts, this expression refers also to social facts, a precious phrase for Emile Durkheim. He wanted to insist on the objectivity of the social field. But religious phenomena are also symbolic phenomena. Talking of religious phenomena does not mean reducing their study to the material and visible aspects. It's about bringing social manifestations and works back to their original meaning. The social and cultural expressions of religions are incomprehensible if we do not critically interpret the text, if we don't closely study the history of the dogmas, and if we do not analyze the theological quarrels on what is at stake. Religious phenomena are also intellectual objects which have to be described and analyzed. But they are also experiential phenomena, sensitive to individual and collective scales. They concern ordinary and everyday religious practices in the different forms of faith, contemplation, prayer, and praise. Studying religious phenomena is then also studying mysticism and spiritualities and exploring religious feelings. I would like to give an example with a work of art. The question is not only analyzing the style or describing what can be seen. A work like Frangelico's Annunciation reproduced in a high school textbooks portrays at the same time the angel and Mary, and in the background you can see Adam and Eve being cast from the Garden of Eden. Such an altarpiece associates two scenes that do not seem to have any relationship to each other. Here the teacher will be able to clarify the connection between abstract notion of incarnation and redemption and the way Christians see themselves as both having inherited the pages of Genesis and putting them into a new relation, a reinterpretation. All that facts or phenomena are required before looking at the painting that renders the Virgin Mary Fiat both visible and audible. So in brief, the interdisciplinary and secular approach to religious phenomena is not reduced to the study of what is not religious within religion. It concerns all aspects of religion. The importance of information about religion in school curricula have been made precise through all these reports, but I must underline that before 1995, information about religion was not absent from all syllabuses, as it was sometimes incorrectly written. We can hardly imagine history classes not referencing the religion of Egyptians or Greeks, not talking about Hebrew in the first year of secondary school, about the genesis of Christianity or Islam in the second year, or not mentioning the Protestant Reformation when talking about religious wars. It is not then a true revolution. However, the new orientation after 1996, which were reinforced after 2002, improved the treatment of these topics. The great novelty in 1996 was the introduction of the study of the founding texts in French classes, including excerpts from the Bible and even New Testament in school books. If you remember the beginning of this presentation, you can imagine how surprised some parents are when they discover Jesus' crucifixion from the Gospel in a school book. It was a huge transformation. It was not possible till 1882 to have an excerpt of the Bible in a school book. Some people were outraged at this propaganda, and others were shocked that this subject was treated on a cultural and literary level. The concept of religion took its place back within the subject of philosophy, from where it had momentarily disappeared. Language teachers can talk about religion when approaching civilization, for instance, in reference to United States of America, mentioning religious phenomena is very useful. In natural sciences, Darwinism and its religious detractors are studied. Finally, in economics and social sciences, religion is an important sociological variable which is also taken into account in syllabuses. I also mentioned civic education, but this is not really a specific course, only some hours in history. And it can deal with ethic questions, but not in relation with religion. In France, ethic questions are absolutely not related to religious phenomena. It's a clear distinction. It's a big difference. And for the primary level, this is more about story from founding texts, told to the children. The Common Base for Knowledge and Competence in 2006 mentioned precisely humanist culture and underlined the place of reference to religion. I give quickly a few examples, mostly in literature and history, which are the discipline who are especially concerned. For example, the founding text in the first year of secondary school as well as Greek myths, more and more introduction on text comparison with the Quran or for sources with the Epic of Gilgamesh, give opportunity to compare the story of creation through different religious point of view. But the importance of religion in literature is not limited to that of the founding text of the main religion. We must also take into account not only the explicit and implicit allusions and references, but also the way a religious perspective can underpin the argument in a text and have a structuring role in a narrative. An emblematic example is given in Victor Hugo's Les Misérables. Jean Valjean's journey relives the history of his wrongdoing, punishment, and redemption, and can't be explained and clearly studied without reference to the cycle of redemption. Other examples can be taken from contemporary literary blockbusters which young people devour. For instance, a school book for the first year of secondary school presents an analysis of sacrifice using a passage from Harry Potter, Goblets of Fire, or you can see also comparison with The Lord of the Rings in some school books. There is an abundant iconography in history and literature school books as a mediation, this sort of mediation using objects and artworks forms a catalyst for explanation using religion. Taken as a factor of comprehension and cultural and historical insertion, it cannot be taken out of context or suspected of proselytism, and that give possibilities to many exercises, like here, a study together, a comparison between text and images, and also the perspective, the role of a leader, of a religious guide. So here with Moïse, but we have also to express how religious feelings express themselves through the evolution of the images of the faith and comparison between a Christ glorious or a Christ crucified tells a lot on the religious feelings on the moment. I will go a little quicker on because it's quite evident difference between Catholic and Protestant through their temples and predication. From the past to the present, that is one of the problems, one of the critiques that can be taken on this syllabus. The chapter on the Hebrew in the first year of secondary school ends with the question of the diaspora, but risks only discussing Jews again with reference to persecution and the Holocaust. And this is a very big difficulty in our program. And similarly, only talking about Islam on the origin avoids presenting contemporary Islam and its diversity, and then risk falling into fundamentalist interpretation. There was debate with the question of the representation of Mahomet, which is not always veiled, as you can see, and this is a way to see how diversity exists in different religions. Studying religious buildings, religious sites, is often a very common place in these syllabuses. Of course, textbooks propose beautiful examples, but few people are invited to visit, as far as possible in their region, churches, synagogues, mosques, to see how religious buildings are made and how rights and feelings expressed in them. So, I already mentioned one of these critics. Sorry. Each new syllabus is always the object of criticism. They are partly corrected in subsequent syllabuses, but they then reveal other deficiencies. I'm only giving you the main elements. So I already mentioned the question and emphasis put on origins, which is, of course, interesting, but could be a risk when there is not time enough to go further in the time and make a better historical review. As a consequence, the importance of religion in the contemporary world is often too elusive or often too related to armed conflicts. And however, it's perhaps tempting to see religion as heritage from the past, which is only presented in contemporary context when it is a source of conflict. But it's also hard to distinguish what falls under the religious or political field, particularly on the subject of armed conflict, since they are both greatly intertwined. An exclusively religious reading is just as invalid. Last question is the limited place of as in religion. Apart from antique polytheism, Egypt, Mesopotamia, I mentioned Gilgamesh, Greece and Rome, the stress is mostly placed on monotheism. The importance given to religions in Asia, barely mentioned in geography classes, was extremely weak. This can be explained by the concern to mostly present the religious tradition that are present in France, one of the European countries with a strong Muslim presence, 6% of the population, and an important Jewish minority, about 600,000 people. Nevertheless, in the reform introduced in 1909, just this year, there is a place for a short presentation of Buddhism and only Hinduism in the chapters on China and India in school books for the first year of secondary school. It is small but shows real progress in this field. Finally, the main difficulty comes from the fact that information about religion is always and inevitably broken up since this effort uses other disciplines. But as we have already seen, it is a position of principle. In the school years, pupils have to establish a link with the different classes and disciplines in which they studied these concepts, just as they have to in other subjects. It is obvious that teachers will be more comfortable when dealing with these sensitive questions if they feel properly trained and intellectually armed to answer the pupils' questions, or they are prepared to be challenged by pupils. 2 points here. It is common that pupils try to test their teachers by questioning their legitimacy when talking about religion. And we now have to refer to the respect of secularism and school obligation. They also apply when pupils refuse to visit religious sites during school excursions. Contestation can also come from parents, either for ultra-secular reasons or for religious reasons. But the answer is the same. Visiting religious sites within the cultural perspective of the school curriculum should not lead to exemptions. But the second point is that these cases are rather rare. And even if the latter example is more common, there is generally no hostility towards teaching about religion. On the contrary, the results of a recent survey on young people and religion directed by Jean-Paul Willem, who are developing in a European program on that subject, REDCO, which Robert Jackson presented just now, show that French pupils have correctly assimilated the principle of secularism. Notably, the difference here with pupils of a Muslim origin is rare. Nonetheless, in the spirit of secularism, pupils think that it is important to know about religion, and they are even yearning for knowledge and not for simple feedback on experience and testimonies in order to gain a more distanced approach than their own religious practice or that of a friend can give them. What about teachers? A similar survey has yet to be carried out. We can underline a few aspects. competitive exams for recruiting teachers are organized according to disciplines. Religious questions are just one further topic within other disciplines. During their training, students in history, literature, philosophy, or languages and civilization can choose, for example, to follow more or fewer classes dealing with religious aspects. But these exams still have a spirit of general interest. It is then hard to assess the competence of teachers in these subjects when looking at their record. It must be stated that teacher training, and particularly the degree course which precede, recruiting competitive exam are the object of a great reform in France. Last year, this reform gave rise to strong protest movement and a prolonged strike. The debate is still very heated and puts aside the question of training in any particular field, information about religion or other. But it must be noted that the effects of the Debré report were to spontaneously begin classes by giving an introduction to the main religions in many universities in France, in the Greek course for history and literature, with, as far as I know, great success and demand from students. These are occasional initiatives, sometimes compulsory, sometimes optional. These propositions would not have happened without the debate on setting up a form of teaching about religion. The previous remarks are about initial training for secondary school, where subjects are taught separately. For the training of teachers following the competitive exams, the Debré report had planned for a module of teaching about religion and the philosophy of secularism. It was more or less set up according to the individual training center. Like other universities and departments, the European Institute of Religion Science frequently gets involved in this training, which is now organized by discipline. I think it is not a place to go further in details on what the European Institute does, but if you are interested, I give some information on the desk at in front of the auditorium with the address of our website where you can find more information. For the last comment of this aspect, while the school world has always been unquestionably and strongly attached to secularism, with very vigilant, concerned observers, young teachers are not as perturbed about religion as some previous generations were. Cultural deficiencies might be great, but interest and curiosity are real. So, to conclude, the question of religion in schools came up in the completely different condition than those of the institutionalization of secularization. It appeared not to be against secularization, but at its heart. It actually constituted a tangible manifestation of the very success of secularization. It was not about introducing catechism in school, but about drawing in a secular perspective all the consequences from the fact that knowledge of religious culture is necessary for the understanding of our societies. Several years after the Debré report, what is the final assessment? The reaffirmed choice of not creating a specific discipline which would be clearly identified on timetables makes this appreciation more difficult. The evolution is mainly qualitative. The main development is that information about religion is dealt with a more direct way. As such, it is recognized that this dimension is part of knowledge and that teachers should not reject it when faced with it, and that it is perfectly legitimate to be dealing with it. Talking about religion is not talking about religious phenomena is not limited to approaching facts. It includes the symbolic dimension and significance which religious phenomena carry as a whole, even though dealing with the pupil's spiritual quest is out of the question, and false on the another field. The most important consequence is that teachers now feel fully entitled to talk about religious phenomena. We can't see a great many initiatives. In my own field, which combines the history of art and history of religions, I have been able to examine a large number of propositions and of pedagogical sequences on training center websites, region by region in France. They are often of great quality. In the numerous training sessions that we organize, we have teachers now saying that they are free to innovate on the subjects a lot more. For example, they propose a biblical play in the first year of secondary school, and pupils had to buy an actual Bible and not only use the excerpts from the syllabus. Some parents were shocked, but the school principal backed the initiative, etc. I have a lot more examples. Regardless, these are only sporadic initiatives, and it is hard to quantitatively assess them for all secondary schools in France. But this dynamism is a direct consequence of the reforms which were carried out in the last few years. In fact, these reforms are not completed. The new history syllabuses, which were created in 2009, are going to be applied this year for the first time of secondary school and will apply to subsequent years, year by year. Another point, the establishment of a general teaching of the history of the arts using all discipline and all the different levels in secondary school is a new reform which is only beginning this year and will also open new possibilities of combination with teaching about religion. Overall, we can say that the question of teaching about religion is no longer a new question in France, nor it is at the heart of current educational developments. The actual reform of teacher training and the advent of the history of the arts trigger more debates today. However, I've lost my last page, and it will finish. However, it develops with the same three main objectives, axes. And I wanted to add that this status of teaching about religion quite ordinary now, banal, not as trigger as other, is precisely what we wished for. We wish for it to become a natural aspect of teaching. And there are still possibilities for adaptation and new integration within the current curriculum reforms, still with the main aims I have mentioned. The understanding of a symbolic world, which gives access not only to past, but also to present culture. The consideration of essential factors for the understanding of the actual world, a better respect for cultural differences and education promoting tolerance, not only tolerance for the ideas and opinions of others, but also critical distance towards one's own convictions, learning about the distance between oneself and others, which truly characterizes one's capacity of thinking as well as true commitment. Schools must be the melting pot for all these aspects, since they are places where pupils learn about knowledge and about the faculty to think and to think about themselves. Thank you very much. Patience.
Tout le monde ce matin pour everybody, Robert Johnson. Comme vous voulez.
We have a. Everybody hear me okay? Thank you, Isabelle. Very revealing. We've always wanted to know what is going on in France, and you clarified for us very, very well. We have time for a couple of questions, about 10 to 15 minutes. You could also ask Bob. Questions that I'm short on this morning because we started a bit late. And also part of the last plenary session, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. So there's a microphone there and one there. We can start with this gentleman. If you would just introduce yourself. Well, you're supposed to be working, I'm sorry, but okay, thank you.
My question is a two-part one. I'll try to be brief, and I will ask both speakers. The first is, who defines the minimum requirement for religious literacy? And does that include beliefs, values, practices, history, etc.? That's the first part. The second part is, how do you prevent the misuse of the fragmentary knowledge of the other to that could easily reinforce prejudices that exist for other reasons, economic, political, etc.? In other words, the idea of a little knowledge can be changed with shame if it's coupled with something else, such as class differences or racial differences, etc. So two parts. Who defines the minimum definition of literacy, and how do you prevent the misuse of fragmentary knowledge?
All the easy ones, eh? Yeah. It's difficult. You know, one extreme you could say, okay, our kids know nothing. Don't let them know anything. You then take the risk and say, as a teacher, we have, and this is the same all over the world, we have a crowded curriculum. We have very little space, and yet we have all these forms and fields of knowledge that we want children to be educated in. So what do? We do our best. And you know, one of the things I was trying to say earlier was about partnership. And I think this is where, you know, academic studies of religion can work very well with professional teachers and others with a professional interest in learning, in devising ways of communicating information about religions and beliefs, to get the grammar of the situation across. It's a real challenge, but I think it's possible to do it. Remind me what the second part of the question was. It was the little knowledge is a dangerous thing one. Yeah. Yeah.
So since the individual knows so little, they use whatever little bit they know to reinforce the existing prejudice.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, people sometimes say, you know, knowledge guarantees a kind of positive attitude. But we, you know, it is the case that you can find a well-informed racist, and that certainly is the case. I think that it is perfectly possible to teach in such a way that involves sensitivity to the key elements of a religious tradition. Obviously, you cannot teach the whole about Hinduism, but you can give some sort of sensitivity to general currents within the Hindu tradition. You can convey the idea, for example, that it is not just one thing. It is many things and can be manifested in different ways. But you can't do the whole thing. You can't do a degree course in Indic religions with 11-year-olds. Yeah.
Or less successful in reaching the aim, whether you
Yeah. Well, you know, I wasn't going to mention England, but I'm sorry. Perhaps I will. We've had a system of religious education there. You can trace it right back to 1870. But if you go back to recent years since post 1988, I think it's really been rather successful in building. A young population who are reasonably well informed. There are gaps, there are problems. You know, I mentioned the research we've been doing recently on textbooks. But I think we have a much better religiously informed populace than we did, say, 40 years ago. You know, when I went to school, supposedly religious education was about Christianity. But actually it wasn't. I mean, back to the, you know... Do we deal with one religion? Do we deal with several religions? And Christianity was taught so badly. We knew we had some facts about the Bible, but we didn't actually know the Christian story of salvation because it was avoided like the plague. You know, I think it's much better taught now than it was. There's some good examples in Norway, good examples in Sweden, some good work done in the Netherlands. Some in the United States. Too. We might hear more from Diane. I mean, Diane's own work in Massachusetts, which is groundbreaking in the United States, has produced some very interesting results. So, you know, all I can say is you raise very, very important points. All we can do is try to do it and to do it well. The alternative is not to do it at all. And that I find very worrying indeed. I did also say at the end of my presentation that the thing about contextualization, you can't apply the same principles in the same way in all places. And it's fascinating to hear the French story and how there have been really quite dramatic changes there. But what is going on in French schools is rather different from what's going on in English schools. But I think both can have value. Okay.
Yeah. If I could just say a word about that, because I realize the time. I think there have been some successes here also in the past. We had a religious culture program in the schools. My guru, Fernand Ouellette, is here, who helped educate teachers in a way that I think that literacy, to some extent, was transmitted to the students. You know, we talk about media literacy, health literacy, and what I was mentioning on the radio, you know, people who can read a newspaper are literate. Some people become Shakespeare scholars. They're also literate. We're not there to make religious scholars or theologians, but that openness, sensitivity. I taught this in a Catholic school, and the Canadian Jewish Congress gave me an award that I'm still very proud of for promoting Jewish-Christian relations, because it was the first time a Jewish rabbi had been invited to a Catholic school to talk to kids and other people of different religions, and we visited temples, etc. That came from my formation that I got from Fernand and his trips to India. And the students, I saw a transformation with them that, hey, these people are human like us, and they have different traditions and different beliefs, but we're all on this earth. And I think the kids, you know, my students in education, that's our job. That's what I try to do, to prepare these teachers to be sensitive. And, you know, sometimes I would ask my student teachers who to be placed in a French immersion school, are you functionally bilingual? Well, I'm not sure. Well, talk to me, you know. Are you functionally religiously literate? And to be very honest with you, like Bob said, you know, I'm Roman Catholic. How many Catholics going up to communion, if they were asked about the dogma of transubstantiation, compared to consubstantiation in the Protestant tradition, would they be able to explain the difference? So not only do people teaching religion from a secular perspective or a non-denominational perspective have work to do, but I think religions themselves have a lot of work to do in getting their own congregants up to snuff in their religious knowledge. Okay. This gentleman will be the last of the questions before lunch.
Okay. I hope you can hear me. My name is Sadat Kazi. I was a professor of economics. Now I retired and I want to do some work on human rights and religion. My first question is to Dr. Jackson. He's British. And I was born in British Bengal. And it's a rebellious province. And we are trained to harass Brit wherever we can get a chance. Okay, I was wondering if your group could prepare a model course outline, go to the UNESCO, have it adopted, and then bring it to General Assembly and pass it there. So it will be a model course outline on religion, human rights, civilization, which any country could adopt. Do you understand my question?
Can you? I can't hear too well, so maybe you could just say the essence of that again.
Does it work? Oh, it works. Wow. Tell me that.
Yes.
No, I was thinking if there could be a common syllabus, common course outline prepared by the UNESCO with help from you and other organizations, then bring it before the United Nations General Assembly, have it adopted, and see how many countries could follow common outline.
Yeah. The idea is great. I think the execution of it would be really rather difficult for the reasons stated earlier. That is that every state has its own history of religion and state, and one has to tread very, very carefully in devising ways of communicating material. You know, I think if the Council of Europe had tried to produce a syllabus for Europe, it wouldn't have worked. Producing some general principles that everybody can operate with, I was able to work with Professor Willem and with others from different countries, and we could look at some general principles, but it was easy to see, you couldn't possibly do that in France. We just heard from Isabel, for example, that the idea of a young person discussing their own religious or secular quest in class would be perfectly possible in an English publicly funded school, but it wouldn't be appropriate in a French publicly funded school. So we have to realize that you know, gaining religious literacy is partly a contextual thing and requires quite a lot of sensitivities in terms of understanding particular national situations. That doesn't mean to say that one cannot be critical of a particular situation. Somebody mentioned the book that I'd co-edited on religious education and peace education. Some of the contributions to that from countries like Indonesia and Korea, for example, are critical of their own governments because of their own governments' intransigence in coming to terms with looking at the full breadth of religious difference. But these things, I think we just have to work at them and move forward. It's an incremental thing. We move forward by degrees. But we also have constantly to bear in mind the points made by the previous speaker. We must be so careful that we don't do more harm than good. But moving forward in the right spirit is infinitely better than doing nothing.
Yeah. Thank you. The question from
I just wanted to add something for the precedent question. Of course, little knowledge can be misused, but no knowledge at all also. And we think that less lack of culture of no knowledge on religions of the others can create fear and reinforce false representation of the others. And I just will give you one example. I show very quickly a page of the Quran, excerpt of the Quran in textbooks in French literature. And it was very interesting to see the reactions of pupils, because a lot of Muslim pupils didn't know that in the Quran there are this, in part of the Quran, there are the same person as in the Bible. And you can see also Abraham, and you can see and even Jesus. Of course, it is not the same interpretation, so you can discover the difference on interpretation. It's not, the purpose is not to say that everybody has the same representation and the same story. It is not to make a mixed of all religion, but discovering that a prophet or the story of Isaac is the story of Ismail are treated in both books creates the occasion of discussion, of talking with the children, with the pupils, with huge repercussion in the climate of the class, according to a lot of teachers. During the WETCO survey, we had the opportunity to observe teachers in their classrooms and to realize how these small things, of course, it is not much, surely not enough to discover all religious system, but these small things can go to a very important dialogue. Thank you.
Thank you. We will have time for more questions, I promise you.